Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Georgetown, hard by to Washington, D.C. Up here doing a little bit of work and on the road. If it sounds different, if the show sounds different, it's because it is different. We use different equipment when we go on the road, and that's the reason it might sound just a little bit different. But I bet Jim Copeland sounds pretty good. He's the director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute. He's here to talk to us about something that's sorely needed, and that's tort reform. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And, you know, the audience probably is starting to get a little bit of an idea. The average American is starting to get a little bit of an idea that there are, and if they've been listening to this show, they certainly have, and to you and to Walter Olson, one of your associates and others, that there's a group of people out there who basically are predators. I consider them to be predators. And they're looking for victims that maybe don't know they're victims, but they're trying to find these people to become plaintiffs in lawsuits to pursue judgments that nobody initially was unhappy about. And that's the reason we need tort reform. And I want you to tell us about one of the new issues that's popping up now that they've wrung as much as they can out of the tobacco suits, these lawyers I'm talking about, they're turning to other issues, aren't they?
They are, and one of those issues that we've really started cropping up are really all the food and beverage industry companies, because basically, you know, all the attention that's been given recently to obesity in America, to diabetes, obesity-related illness and injury, has basically formed the foundation for what we think is going to be the next wave of quote-unquote consumer protection lawsuits. So just as tobacco was a clear target of the lawyers, given that, you know, tobacco certainly does cause illness and right, causes a lot of people to die every year, we've seen Coke and Pepsi recently becoming targets. We've seen Kellogg's. We've seen attacks on the networks that run the ads. We've seen Nickelodeon.
McDonald's has come under fire, hasn't it?
It's certainly McDonald's has come under fire with fast food. There's been a legislative response to that. And I think most of the public thought, well, wow, McDonald's, you know, if someone chooses to go to McDonald's, that's their choice. But what you're going to start seeing is sort of the extension of what you saw with tobacco, the Joe Camel Fuhrer. Now you're seeing sort of the Tony the Tiger Fuhrer. So that CBS, Viacom, Nickelodeon, running these ads on Nickelodeon or running the Saturday morning cartoon ads, are becoming targets of lawsuits for running ads with Tony the Tiger or other cartoon characters that promote these sugary substances that are being blamed for the childhood obesity epidemic. Now it's strange to me, because when I grew up, you know, we had Frosted Lucky Charms and Tony the Tiger and all these other cartoon characters on television as well, and we
don't forget Cocoa Puffs, Jim.
Exactly, and Ronald McDonald was on, and so you know, all these advertisements have been on for years. So it's kind of strange to blame these ads for the obesity epidemic rather than, you know, kids being more sedentary, sitting around playing video games all day and watching TV, parents not encouraging them to go outside. I mean, there's a lot of factors there, but suing you know, the beverage companies. I mean, part of this is Coke and Pepsi paid school districts money to put Coke and Pepsi machines in there. Now, you could say, well, they shouldn't have done that. You could say the school districts shouldn't have accepted the money. But again, when I went to school, you know, I used to go through the cafeteria line at lunch, and I would get the orange push-ups and Hostess Twinkie cakes. And, you know, it wasn't as if there was – an absence of junk food there if you didn't like the spinach pie. So I don't think that this is particularly new. I think it's just particularly new that lawyers are going to be going after it, and the fact that there is a lot of childhood obesity sort of brings the hook in there. I mean, part of what got tobacco on was, well, they're marketing it to kids and getting kids hooked young, and that's the sort of hook they're going on now. They're saying that kids are impressionable, they don't really know what's good for them, and so we've got to protect them with these lawsuits.
Well, one thing, Jim, I think you'll agree with me on. I do think that it'd be better if children in school didn't drink so much soft drinks, at school. I think that would be a good thing.
I also believe, Jim,
I don't know if it's an epidemic, but I do believe that obesity or variations of that condition is a problem in America.
I agree with you on both counts, and I think
but the people who shove the stuff in their mouths when they have other choices, that's where the blame lies, not in the people who provide it.
Well, I think that's true to some extent. I mean, with children aren't necessarily going to look after themselves the same way we do as adults. But the response there is for the school boards, for the principals, for the state legislators to be responsible and say, listen, even if you're getting offered money, you're not going to have soft drink vending machines or have, cookies and, potato chips and things like this available in the school. So, but it's the administrators, it's the legislators, it's the people making the decisions that need to be policing that a little more, because kids aren't necessarily going to police it. And at the same time, to help this obesity problem, they need to get a better attention on real physical education classes and et cetera, which we had a lot growing up, and I assume they still have some of it, but obviously it's not working. And then again, it's also got to fall back to the parents, because schools are only going to do so much.
But, Jim, we still have these lawsuits that the attorneys are trying to drum up, and one of the places they're starting, according to an article that one of your associates and one of our friends, Walter Olson, has written, they're trying to get one of those lawsuits started in Massachusetts, aren't they?
Yeah, Massachusetts has really become the focal point for these sorts of consumer protection suits. And Massachusetts has a consumer fraud statute.
I want you to hold on to that thought, Jim. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, we're going to find out how this is going in Massachusetts. Because as it goes in Massachusetts, it may go nationwide. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. Even when times get rough, 23 after. And you had enough, I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Jim Copeland's here too, folks. He's director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute. And you know who those folks are. We have a number of their folks on the show. Tamar Jacoby, Walter Olson. On Monday, John McWhorter is going to be with us. We're going to talk about his new book. It's Winning the Race, is that right? Is that what it's called, Jim?
Called Winning the Race, that's right.
Winning the Race. We're going to talk about that. That's about race in America, how race is being used in America, and how some of the minorities can get out of there, some of the challenges that they have if they want to get out on their own. And we're going to talk about that with John McWhorter on Monday. Jim Copeland and I are talking about some of the lawsuits that are popping up over obesity. And one of the things that I mentioned to Walter Olson, he has a brand new article out right now talking about this issue, that we've got right now with the trial lawyers trying to develop lawsuits over obesity, and they're focusing on Massachusetts, aren't they, Jim?
That's right, and Massachusetts has what a number of states have, but it's got it in what seems to be a more permissive form, and that's a consumer fraud statute or consumer protection statute that allows lawsuits to be filed by individuals basically against any company that's making representations that are sort of harmful to the public. And the thing about Massachusetts, California used to be this way until they reformed it a couple of years ago, but you don't actually have to show that you were harmed to file suit. So you can sustain suits basically on behalf of the public interest there, these consumer protection suits, and have a much more likelihood of success. I mean, the reality is if you were going to file a class action suit on obesity, Massachusetts is probably the last state you'd look if you looked at it, because they're next to last in the nation in terms of actually having obesity. But you're seeing these suits gravitate there against Coke and Pepsi, against, you know, Viacom for advertising with Tony the Tiger and Kellogg's, et cetera. These suits are going there specifically because the legal regime there is more permissive for the suits. And that's the sort of forum shopping that happens.
This is a great irony. This is almost a delicious irony, Jim, that the state that has the best statute to in which to launch basically what may become a national campaign, like the tobacco campaign was, like the asbestos campaign was by the trial lawyers, the state that has the best laws to launch that actually has the least, next to the least likely populace to be obese. And that's a kind of a delicious irony. In fact, Walter Olson points that out in his article recently, that the folks who are trying to bring these suits are actually having trouble finding the right, I guess, plump family to be the victim of the lawsuit. That's kind of funny, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got to find the right lead plaintiff. I mean, what's important to remember with these types of suits is they're lawyer-driven. And these suits tend to settle. The actual plaintiffs don't get much money. They might get, you know, $10, $20, and that's spread across a class of plaintiffs. And then there might be a contribution made to the state. There might be a contribution made
But in the case of tobacco, the lawyers made billions.
That's right. And then the lawyers take up the rest. And if you have a big settlement, even if the individuals get a little bit and you throw some into a charity to help with obesity and you throw some into the state coffers, you know, the lawyers are getting a big chunk of change. And that's why they're driving the process. And what they're looking for the right type of plaintiff that's going to look good in court. And the reality is, you know, that plaintiff may not be at all reflective of the vast population that's in the class.
And in the beginning, didn't even know that they should be indignant about what happened, what may have happened to them. What should be done about this? What's the tort reform angle that should be taken to address this, Jim?
Well, I think these consumer fraud statutes, we've really got to get them under control. I mean, the tort law system is not designed to make policy. Obesity is a problem in America. But it's really something that the legislatures, that the regulators, that the school boards should be involved in, and that parents and individuals should be involved in, you know, not lawsuits. And the problem is, you know, our tort system is designed to remedy actual harms that individuals suffer. So if you hit someone else in your car, or run over someone, or if you've got a dog that gets loose and bites someone, or, you know, these are the sorts of harms that our tort system is designed to handle, and it's being, you know, really exported into all these areas of policymaking, largely because the policy advocates, the health advocates, et cetera, aren't able to get the results they want by pursuing it through the regular democratic channels, through the legislative process. So instead, they want to bootstrap their policy into the tort system and use it effectively as a shakedown, which a class action lawsuit is always going to be. So I mean, I think the certification of the class, the consumer fraud.
Jim, I've only got about 30 seconds. Quick question. We got two new judges on the Supreme Court, Roberts and Alito. Are they going to be more favorable to tort reform than their predecessors?
Well, I think they'll certainly support legislative tort reforms. Whether they, in fact, will do as some of the other justices have done and put some constitutional limits from the federal level, I don't know. I mean, Thomas and Scalia actually don't do that. A lot of this is going to be a state-by-state.
Time will tell. Jim, I'm sorry. I got to wrap it up. Thanks for being here today. Give us the website of the Manhattan Institute.
Well, the Manhattan Institute is manhattan-institute.org. Our specific website for tort reform is pointoflaw.com.
Thank you, Jim.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.